Hello, beautiful souls. Welcome back to Heart-Centered Money Conversations, a series for financial wellness. And how's it going? How's the series going so far? We have had the previous episode of tax-free savings accounts, which honestly, learning all this information has blown my mind. And I know our intention for this whole series is really to be able to have greater education around this stuff so that we can make empowered decisions ourselves and not continually put our power outside of ourselves when it comes to our financial decisions so that we don't look back with feeling regrets or feeling shameful for our decision making so that we can really come from this empowered place and educated place. And that really is what this is all about, is it's all for educational purposes so that we can become more empowered in our finances. And so, for those of you that do not know me, my name is Laura Pahuta, and I'm an emotional clearing practitioner. And this is my amazing friend, Kristen, who is a financial coach here in Ontario. And on this episode today, we're going to be talking about more on RRSPs. So, Unlocking Financial Freedom, the ultimate guide to RRSPs. And I don't know about you, but I had felt very confused around RRSPs, around tax-free savings accounts, around all of this stuff for quite a long time. And it really wasn't for me until I met Kristen, actually, that she took so much time to be able to educate me so that I could understand. And I had the opportunity to ask all of these questions to be able to start wrapping my head around what the heck the value of all of these things were so that I could be like, okay, yeah, that makes sense. And once things started making sense to me, then I was like, okay, yes, this is what I want to do for my financial future. And it started feeling so much more empowering, and I felt a lot more confident with my decision making and knowing that I'm setting myself up for an amazing financial future, especially now that I'm having the baby as well. It like brought a whole new kind of peace into it where it was like, okay, no, like it's no longer just me. So if you're here and you're excited to be able to educate yourself more on RRSPs, then this is definitely going to be an episode for you. And we are going to touch base on both for entrepreneurs as well as employees. So it should cover the basis for absolutely everybody. And as always, Kristen is an educator here for Ontario. However, if you are in different provinces, different parts of the world, a lot of the information does kind of relate throughout the series. However, you can kind of use your judgment with that. And if you do have any specific questions, then feel free to put them into the comments and just place where it is that you live so that Kristen has a good idea of that so that she can best answer your questions. So if you've had any questions come up so far about all the tax-free savings account stuff, go back to that video and you can put in the comments all of your questions. And then we'll be very, very happy to be able to answer them on the next episode. And same goes for this. If you have any questions pop into your mind as we kind of go through all of this stuff, please feel welcome to put them in the comment. There's no silly questions whatsoever. I know I ask like a billion questions, and it really helps, you know, like to know that there is a safe space there to be able to ask these questions because we all have different experiences that we've been through, and we've all heard all different things from different people and different resources and all this stuff. And it can be a big, hot, jumbled mess as to what's true, what's not true. And so, yeah, just know that this is a safe space for you to be able to really ask all of the questions that you want. So, without further ado, Kristen is going to blow our minds on RRSPs. So, I'm very, very excited for this.
Oh, Laura, I'm so excited and thank you for that. I really appreciate all the questions you've had and you being able to dive into things more because it just shows me how much people need what we do in that educational space. I really focus on the education side of things because, like you said, so many people don't know where to get that information or is it the right information. And there's It should be common knowledge, but it's not. So
For
we're
sure.
here to just make things a little bit easier for you. So, like Laura mentioned, we're going to be diving deeper into RSPs today. So if you're in Canada, what does that mean? It's a registered retirement savings plan. Now, these are meant for long-term accounts. We'll dive deeper into, you can use them for short-term projects, we'll say. But for the most part, it's for long-term. So how does it work? So when you're looking at an RSP, basically when you put money into the account, you get a tax deduction. And when you take the money out of the account, you're taxed at that time. So basically, if your tax bracket is higher later when you're taking that money out, you'll be paying more taxes than if you were to take that money out now, right? So in most situations, especially if you're an employee, you're gonna be in a situation where your tax bracket when you're older and retired is gonna be lower than what it is right now. And that's where you see a lot of benefits. So there's a lot to consider when you're looking at RSPs. And you have to make sure that it's the right account for you, because there are so many different situations. You know, it's not one shoe fits all kind of thing. So we have to make sure that it makes sense in terms of your tax situation and your purpose of the account. And I know, Laura, like we were talking about residual income, or right, and how that might affect the RSP, using an RSP, let's say. Mm-hmm. So you want to touch on that? That'd be awesome.
Yeah, it was interesting kind of when I was learning about this, because I kind of had this like thing like RSPs are stupid, you know, but it was just because when you take your money out, you are taxed on it. And I know a lot of the time, like you're like, oh, well, I want to find something that's tax free so that the government isn't taking so much of my money that I'm making, right? So we can keep as much as we possibly can throughout the process. And after learning more about it, it was really like there are intentional uses for it. Like mm-hmm. Kristen said, about if you are going to be somebody who is working a traditional career from now until 30, 35 years from now, you retire, that income that you have at that point is lower. You can take it out and there you go. You have that money at a lower tax bracket, right? However, if you are going to be somebody like I know for me, I kind of pivoted and shifted with kind of the new economy that's here with the online space and all of the different options available for affiliates and referral marketing and building residual income and passive income and all of these things that when I looked at the long-term kind of vision, I was like, I plan on continuing to grow my income until the day that I die. And I want to partner with companies that have legacy companies that then pass it on to my children. Right. So there's so many different options nowadays that sometimes these accounts in the RRSPs may not be the best one for the long term. However, right now there still could be value in it because the income is still lower. So there's many, many different kind of things to think about with the RRSPs. And it really is like individual for every single person.
You know, I'm really glad that you bring that up too, Laura, because it really does depend if you're an employee or self-employed in terms of how it's going to affect your taxes. Like if you're self-employed, it basically means if you put money into your RSP now, you pay less taxes later when at tax time, which can be really beneficial, especially if you're trying to like get things off the ground, right? But if you're an employee, it works a little bit differently. And we'll kind of touch on that as well. So how does it work in terms of how much can you put into your RSP? So you can put 18% of your income each year into your RSP. And if you don't put 18%, it accumulates over your working years. And that's called your contribution room. So say last year you put nothing into your RSP, but you were working, that amount, that 18% that you accumulated, you can then put money in this year, right? So it just kind of builds and builds over your career. So for an example, I had a client, he had over $100,000 in room because he just didn't use his RSP, right? So everybody's situation is very different. We'll actually attach a link where you can go to your MyCRA account and see your contribution room, because this will also allow you to see like, is it worth it for me to put this money in? Again, I highly recommend talking to an accountant for your personal situation. An accountant would be able to tell you like, maybe you should put this much in because that's going to bring your income to this and kind of adjust things. Okay, what does that even mean? So let's look at how it affects your income and how your taxes, because I think this is something that a lot of people have a hard time wrapping their head around. And that's totally okay. It's just because we're not taught it, right? So basically how an RSP works is when you put money into your RSP, they reduce your taxable income from that amount. So let me share an example with you. So if you make $100,000 a year and you put $10,000 into your RSP, basically they reduce your taxable income by that $10,000. So you made $100,000, you put $10,000 in, now your taxable income is $90,000. Now, this is really good and if you're an employee and you're paying taxes every single week or biweekly or monthly, however you get your paycheck, because at the end of the year, you get money back because you paid taxes on that whole $100,000, but you only had to pay taxes on $90,000 because you contributed to your RSP. Now for a self-employed person, it's different. Basically, if you put that $10,000 in, they do count it to reduce your taxable income, but you're not paying taxes throughout the year, or you don't necessarily know exactly how much you have to pay. Maybe you're putting a little bit here and there. So it reduces the amount that you owe at the end of the year. So that's kind of the two different situations there. So I did touch on a little bit how you could potentially use your RSP for short term. And what I was getting at is the home buyer's plan. Now, this is a really cool strategy to be able to borrow money from your RSP and use it towards buying a house. Now you can use $35,000 that you can take out of your RSP. So it's good if you have a partner as well that you're doing it with who's also a first-time homebuyer, because you can both take $35,000. Now you have $70,000 that you can put towards a down payment. Let's be real, down payments are very expensive these days. We just bought a house in the summer, let me tell you. And with that, though, you have to pay it back over 15 years. So you have to make sure you're paying it back a little bit every single year. You can't just in the year 15 pay $35,000 back. Doesn't work that way. You're going to get taxed on it. So to make sure you're not taxed on it, what I recommend is take the amount that you borrow, divide it by 15 for the 15 years, and then divide it by 12 to figure out how much you need to put in every single month. So let's use that $35,000. With $35,000, if you divide it by 15, you're just over $2,900 every single year you have to pay back, which works out to be $243 a month. There you go, that's your number. So you want to make sure you're putting that away every single month, so that way you're not taxed on that for taking out and borrowing from your RSP. Mm-hmm. So you can use it short term, but you're really just borrowing it from yourself. Right. So there are different strategies, like the first home savings account, which we can talk about in another video. It's amazing. I love this account. We were actually eligible to use this account when we bought our house. Very excited. But
it's just a new one, right?
It's very new. Yeah, it just came out in the spring. So it was like maybe June. May, June. So very, very exciting.
And if anybody is looking to receive more information on their first time home buyer, like if you haven't bought a house yet, it's something that you have in the future, put it in the comments for us and put first time home buyer. Let us know in the comments, because we are going to do a full episode to be able to help support you in being able to actually get yourself set up for success. Like Kristen said, there's new stuff coming out all the time. And if you can leverage that to be able to get that home that you want, then that's super exciting.
Yeah. And the really cool thing about the home buyers, home savings account, first home savings account, very long name, is that there's no taxes when you take that money out and you don't have to pay it back. So it's definitely worth looking into. I'd be more than happy to go over that with anyone who's interested.
Perfect.
So the next thing I want to cover in terms of RSPs is one of my favorites. It's an RSP loan. And so many people are like, Kristen, what the heck are you talking about? Like anytime somebody hears the word loan, we're like, I'm not even paying attention. But stay with me for a minute, because I promise you it's going to be worth your time. So an RSP loan is kind of what it sounds like. It's borrowing money to put it into your RSP. It's not necessarily like borrowing it from anywhere. There's a product called RSP loan, and it goes directly into your RSP. Again, you need to do some research and see if it works best for you. But I just want to share some information around it, because in some situation it has worked really well for my clients. That being said, it doesn't work necessarily for everyone. So hopefully we can shed some light on that today. So I want to ask you a question. In terms of investing, if you were to put $30,000 into an account today, do you think that we grow more than if you were just to put $100 a month for 25 years? Right?
I'm gonna say yes.
Yeah. And it would, because what happens is that $30,000 has 25 years for it to grow, right? And that's the power of these RSP loans. Laura, if you could share my slide here and I'll show you exactly what I mean, because it's about compounding. And we talk about a little bit about like the high cost of waiting, which we're going to talk about later, so you can kind of fully understand this concept. But let's take a look at this for a minute. Okay, so let me show you what I mean. So if you were to put $100 a month for 25 years, that money over 25 years is going to grow to $112,000, almost $113,000. But what if we put $30,000 in today, same rate of return, 9%, same time, 25 years, it grows to $282,000. It's more than double, because it's so mind-blowing. It's $170,000 more. And it's just because of the compounding interest. $30,000 can grow more over time because of that compounding interest, interest building on top of interest on top of interest. And that's why I love RSP loans, and they can work really well to really kickstart this. And one interesting thing is when people think loan, they're like, oh my God, but the interest. Okay, let me explain how it works. So in most situations, when you get an RSP loan, you're putting money into your RSP, which means you get a deduction, right? An RSP deduction. So you get money back, especially if you're an employee. This works well because you are getting that money back. If you're self-employed, you have to have the discipline to put the money that you would have saved on your taxes back towards the loan. So if you're getting a tax refund because you put $30,000 into your RSP, you can take that tax refund, put it towards the loan, and that covers your interest and reduces the loan. So it works out that in most cases, you can kind of get this $30,000, borrow it for, let's say, a low cost, right? And that's why it works so well. But what if you did RSP loan, RSP loan, RSP loan over 30 years, you did it three times to really kickstart? So before we jump to the next slide, I want you to look at this number, 282,000. That's where we would be if we just did it one time and left it in there for 25 years. But let me show you what it's going to look like if we did it multiple times. So if we put $30,000 as an RSP loan at 9%, and we left it for 10 years. It took us, you know, say 10 years to pay it off. Normally it doesn't take 10 years for clients to pay it off, but let's use that example. It would grow in that 10 years to $73,000, right? You can see at the bottom. So what we will do is let's do another RSP loan of $30,000 in 10 years time. So now our total balance at the beginning is going to be $103,000. We leave that one in there for 10 years and let it grow. So now it's $256,000 that it's grown to in just a 20-year period. But let's do it one more time. So so we take that 253 plus your 30,000. Now your beginning balance is $283,000. And your balance after 30 years is just shy of $700,000. That's a huge difference from in the previous slide where we said it would be 280. It was 282, right? That it would have been if we left in there for 25 years and never did another one. So this is why doing these RSP loans over and over again can really work out to your benefit. And just remember, you're just using your money in a different way. I know this is a lot to take in right now. If you need some more insight on this, feel free to reach out. I'm more than happy to have that conversation and kind of dive through things in a little bit more details.
So, I was going to say too, like, this is the, I think the third time I've heard this information. And finally, my body's like wrapping its head. Like my mind is wrapping my head around it. My body's not freaking out. I'm like, wow, this is amazing. And I love how you mentioned too, like, this obviously takes discipline and you need to have a system in place, which I love that you are just so like, you know what you're doing with this stuff. So, and it's really nice to be able to see the actual numbers on here as well. And I know when I first saw this, the question that I had with you is like, well, how are you paying for this? Cause like you said, when you think about loan, you're like, oh my God, well then I'm going to have to pay back a loan. And I love what you shared with me about how, well, if you're going to be taking, say, that money and putting it into your account every single month as like whatever, then you just take that and you put it toward that. Would you be open to kind of sharing that a little bit more?
Yeah, thanks so much, Laura. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
So basically, it's the idea that if you're putting money into your RSP already, then you just take that money and you can put it towards the loan, right? So even though there's interest on the loan, you're still paying it down. And most of the time we use like a 10-year example. I've never had a client take 10 years. Like all of my clients get this paid off way faster because it's also like an incentive because it's in your mind, it's debt, right? They're like, I want to pay it off now. But that means the faster you pay it off, then you can do another one, right? It's this cycle. So it really can make a huge difference. And it's using the strategy. So the two big things is, one is taking the payments that maybe you were putting towards your RSP, putting those payments towards the loan. The other one is having the discipline that when you get your tax return, to put it directly on the loan. Mm-hmm. Because that's what's going to count to pay it down way, way faster. Yeah. And paying off that interest.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, okay, I got a tax return of $12,000. I'm going to buy a boat. No, we're not doing it. And that's exactly what happened is I did it with a client, actually this time last year, and he got a $12,000 return. Like, pretty sweet. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
it's definitely worth it. For most situations, because in some cases it doesn't make sense, and it's doing your research. I just wanted to open your mind to the idea of this today so you can kind of look at it maybe in a different light.
Mm-hmm.
That helps.
Yeah. And I love that too, because it really is like, I love how you talk about spinning multiple plates at once. You know, when you know that the intention of you creating this is for that long-term vision, so you can have a lot of freaking play money down the road and be financially secure, not have to worry about it, that you can be disciplined with this action plan with that. But then you also have a different action plan to be able to have your savings so that you can actually have fun money now. Right.
Yeah.
So it's like doing all of it at once. And once you get all of that into play, then, oh my gosh, financial freedom, here we come, right? But it is really like getting it all into place, wrapping your head around it, being able to understand why you're making the decisions that you're making so that you have a good grasp of this stuff. And it really is something that you have to dive into and be consistent with. Like, it's been multiple years. I think it was 3 years ago now that I was like, I'm going to get on top of my taxes and my financial stuff, and I'm going to start learning this stuff because it was an area that I wanted to be able to have massive growth in. And it's taken me so long. And now, like I said, finally, my body and my mind are like receiving this information, really understanding it. And that's why I was like so excited to be able to do this series with you as well, because it's like this stuff, it's like people need to know this stuff. It creates so much value. So thank you for sharing that.
It's so true too. I hear that all the time where people like we create an amazing plan for somebody and they're like, okay, thanks.
Yeah. Overwhelmed.
Yeah. Like they're just not ready to like mentally be in a place where they're making these financial shifts. And that's okay. Cause most of the time those people come to me down the road and they're like, okay, I'm ready now, Kristen.
Totally. Yeah. I've done that many times where I'm like, even with you, like, I'm ready. And then I'm like, just kidding. I'm not actually ready. But then I come back. I'm like, okay, I'm actually ready now. And then I take another little action step.
Yeah.
Like just like this like slow game over time, but it all builds.
Yeah, honestly. And it's totally okay. It's just knowing where you are and being okay with where you are. But the one thing that I want to share that hopefully can help people get over that hump is the high cost of waiting. When it comes to saving for retirement, so many people are like, oh, I'll do it later. It's like, okay, I'll do it after I graduate school. Oh, I'll do it after I get an apartment. Oh, I'll do it after we buy a house. I'll do it after we get married. I'll do it after we have kids. I'll do it once the kids move out. Well, guess what? You're old when the kids move out.
It's too late.
It's not too late. It's never too late. But it's the idea that if we keep pushing it off, we're going to be in a spot in retirement that we're probably going to be a little bit uncomfortable because we don't have the finances. Because, and Laura, you probably know too, is that when you're retired, you might have like medical expenses, things you don't have now, things we don't think about. And it's like planning for those things.
For sure,
so I want to share with you the high cost of waiting. And, you know, I like to use this example. I'm a plant person. So the best time to plant an oak tree was 20 years ago. The next best time is today, right? We can't go in the past. Right? But we can start now. So let me show you why this matters. So the high cost of waiting, I always say, if I could only teach one financial concept, this is what it would be. And I actually just did this with a client and it made a huge difference for them because they were kind of in that, oh, I'm going to pay off my debt before I start savings. Spinning two plates, like Laura said, we talked about it in previous episodes. We're probably going to talk about it in future episodes. So it's the idea, let's look at this example, right? If you're 27 years old, you're investing $100 a month, you're gonna have $471,000 come retirement, right? But what if you wait just 1 year and you say, okay, when I'm 28 years old, then I'll start to invest. So you save yourself in the immediate gratification, $1,200. $100 a month for the year, $1,200, right? But what does that cost you long-term? Because that money didn't have time to grow, like we showed you in the previous example, right? Putting in monthly versus putting in a lump sum. It's kind of the same idea, is having that money sit there and grow for a long period of time. So it didn't cost this person $1,200. It cost this person $41,000. Just because they waited 1 year, right? And as we get older, that gap, that cost of waiting just gets bigger. So if you're 32 years old when you start investing $100 a month, now the gap between age 27 and 32, 5 years, it's $170,000. And what if we wait till we're 42 years old? Yeah, you have $112,000 come retirement, but it costs you $358,000 because you waited to put that money away, right? It's better to put more money in now when you're younger and you have maybe less responsibilities than to wait later, especially if you're like 27. Like when I was 27, I had literally no responsibilities. Maybe I was paying rent, my phone bill, whatever. But
you dropped like $100 at the bar.
Yeah, right?
Easily.
Like, oh, I don't have money to save. It's like, okay, let's think about this holistically.
I wish I knew this stuff when I was that age. And it's really great. Thank you for pulling up this visual as well, because it really does like kind of put it into perspective with how much waiting does. And really, $100 a month is nothing. Like, if you think about that, like, that's like if you go buy two pairs of pants in a month, or you buy 10 to 15 coffees these days, you know, in a month. It's like $100 a month. Putting that aside is not that much. And when you can see the numbers that it starts producing, like we said, along with spinning multiple plates, like financial freedom is accessible for everyone.
Yeah. And that's something I hear a lot too, is that they're like, well, I have no money. I can't save. And like, I've sat down with people that are literally living paycheck to paycheck or low income. And like, we show them how they can get to $1 million if they stick to the plan.
Yeah.
And it's so crazy. Like I sat down with somebody a few weeks ago and I was like, I'm going to show you how to be a millionaire. And they were like, and I'm like, no, I'm serious.
Yeah. No, it's seriously.
That's what we're going to do. Yeah. If you stick to the plan, we're going to show you how you can do that. Yeah. And it's all about just having these tools. So I'm really excited for this series because I'm hoping that I can open your eyes to just having the tools available that you can get further ahead and take that pressure off. And I know Laura's going to share a little bit about kind of like the mindset around it, because like I can teach all the tools, but if you don't have the mindset, like we talked about, it could take a long time for you to actually be ready.
So yeah, so about the mindset, like what holds people back from these? I know we kind of touched point on a few of them over the course of this episode, right? But when we are emotionally capped in our everyday life, right? If we have a lot of stress in our lives in other areas, we just simply just don't have the capacity to wrap our minds around this stuff. You know, when the body is full of all of these heavy emotions, then it can't absorb new information, right? So being able to shift your lifestyle in a way that really supports your overall well-being so that you're feeling like you have a big capacity is definitely going to be one thing to be able to focus on, right? That's why I'm such a big advocate of meditation and yoga and getting out in nature and eating healthy and putting good nutritious stuff in your body and getting like all the Ayurvedic herbs and all this stuff, because there's so many options that we have available to be able to support our mental and emotional well-being so that we have that capacity to be able to sit down and receive information like this and be able to say, you know what, like, I don't care how long it takes me to learn this information and to do like to get where I want to go. I am making that decision that I'm committing to this journey and I'm going for it. And I know I also like, it doesn't matter who we are as humans, we do so much better with accountability, right? And so having somebody like Kristen to be able to be like, hey, Laura, like, we're going to have, do you want to set up a time to chat more about your financial stuff? It's like, my body's feeling super heavy. And I'm like, oh, like, I don't know. I don't really, I'm not ready. Like all of these excuses start coming up. And then it's like being able to just have awareness around that and witness it and observe it and be like, yes, I am going to show up to that meeting and then just see what happens from that meeting. And you just kind of keep going and going and going. And like I said, it's definitely one of those things that it's like over time it builds, you know, it's like an apartment building that you're building, like you're building one thing at a time. I've had a few apartments now where they've been doing construction outside. So you get to like see how much work goes into each like level as they're kind of building up and how quickly it actually goes once it starts rolling. Right. So
like
it really
popcorn,
is.
Right. Like in the beginning, it's really, you know, it takes time to heat up, but then it's like,
totally. Yeah. And there's nothing more rewarding with this stuff to be able to actually physically see your finances growing, you know, like when you can see them growing and you know that it's like, I don't want to be stressed about finances. I don't want to have to like say no to the things that I really want to do. Like, I want to be able to say yes when my friend's like, we're going to Jamaica. Do you want to come? You know, or like whatever that thing is, or do you want to go away to the spa for the weekend? Or do you want to go this, or your kids are wanting to do something or paying for your children's education, or maybe you want to upgrade your education, like not having to have that second thought of being like, oh, well, I can't because of finances. Like, that's freedom to me, you know? So those are kind of some things that can hold us back on it, and procrastination, you know, not having all the information, you know, we've got so many resources out here. So it's really not that we don't have the information. It's really that we aren't actually taking that incentive within ourselves to be like, okay, I'm going to receive the information. And I know you've mentioned it a few times in this episode about discipline.
Yeah.
Right? About discipline. And all of it is it's really like not being so hard on ourselves. Like being okay if we say don't follow through on things that very first time, but we continually show up and we continually come back to those things so that we can continue growing in that area. And over time, you're going to see the results. It's just a matter of time.
Exactly. It's just sticking to it.
Yeah.
And that brings us to the homework. Like, what are we going to do to be able to see that change, see the difference? And it's like starting those building blocks. So a few things that we have for you today is deciding whether an RSP is a good option for you or not. And some people it's going to be, other people it's not, and that's totally okay. But it's everybody's situation is going to be different. Take some time to learn more about RSPs. Maybe even watch this video again. It's a lot of information, but it's so exciting and it's very eye-opening. So take some time to learn about RSPs and see if that's a good option for you or not. Because again, some people it'll work really well for, other people it won't, and that's okay. There's definitely different ways to get to where you want to be. And then the last one is, if you do need some guidance, because this is a lot of information, feel free to book a call or an appointment with a financial advisor or myself. I'll put my link in the description there so you can book a time. And we're more than happy to do a free consultation to help you see what goals you want to achieve and how to do it. Dive deeper into your specific situation. Because it, like I said, it's not, you know, one shoe fits all, right? So it's finding what works best for you. So take some time to learn a little bit more about RSPs, RSP loans. And if you need some extra help, reach out, because we're not taught this in school. We're not meant to know everything. And that's okay, right? That's why there's professionals that can help you out.
100%. Yeah. And so this is your opportunity as well. We'd love to know what have been your biggest insights that you've received throughout this episode. So if you want to hit the old pause button and go ahead and type them in the comments, we would absolutely love to hear. And also, if you have any questions, what questions are coming through to you right now, even taking a moment to pause the video as well and just see what comes through as to what questions, or if you want to rewatch this episode and write down your questions as they come and then throw them all in the comments so that we can get Kristen back on here for another episode where we're answering all of the questions that you have as to this. Or if you want to book that call with Kristen, you can obviously ask them to her personally as well. So lots of options there for asking your questions, but we would love to hear them.
Yeah. I'm so excited that we did this today. I think the RSPs is such valuable information, much like the TFSA. If you haven't watched the TFSA video, go do that, because TFSAs, they're a great product. So today we talked about using RSPs, how they're meant specifically for long-term, but you can use a home buyer's plan for short-term, although there's other options for that as well. There's RSP loans, and how those might benefit you in propelling your RSP to help you get to where you want to be faster because of compounding interest. We talked about the high cost of waiting and how take some time and just pay yourself first. Put even a little bit of money away now, because it's going to grow for that long period of time, and you're really going to see a difference than if you just waited even 1 year from now. So I really encourage you to take some time, feel into your finances. Like Laura said, I want to thank everyone for taking the time to watch this episode. Laura and I put a lot of time and thought into what we want to share, because we're both so passionate and think it's so important to be able to share these things with you. Next episode, we're going to be talking about credit cards. So that's a really interesting topic that I think a lot of people can get a ton of value. There's good debt versus bad debt. Like the RSP loan is a good debt. Credit card, we'll talk about it next time. And like Laura mentioned, we're going to have an episode coming up that's all around money mindset, because we need to be in the right place mentally to be able to take the steps forward, taking these tangible actions. So thank you so much for joining us. I really hope you enjoy feeling into your heart around your finances, and we'll see you on the next episode.
Yay. Thanks so much, Kristen. Bye, everybody.